Blast Furnace Radio. This is our final podcast, unless, you know, somehow we use the Wayback Machine to go back to tomorrow. And unless some, you know, people like want to go through the bends or something like that and come up slowly and, you know, decompress for all their activism. Today's date is September 25th, and today was the second day of the G20 summit. And it is unbelievable. I can't think of anything that is more ridiculous than 2 days. But anyways, we've covered a lot of territory, and here we go. First up is Anti-Flag, which is a Pittsburgh band that actually made it. When they were not making it, they were losers, and then when they made it as a band and signed a contract, they were set. It's really been interesting. They were a band who was a punk band that were the second wave of punk that actually made it, and they didn't lose their soul. And also, unlike other people who talk about violence and don't do it, the Anti-Flag has maintained a consistent position of non-violence, which is easy to do when you're a successful band.
And who do we have with us today?
My name is Pat. I play drums in a band called Anti-Flag.
Anti-Flag, are you guys new?
Yeah, we're this new band. We got to start from the internet. That MySpace has really helped us out, made us into a really special band.
Did you used to be called Al's Rotten?
No,
but
they were a great band.
Yeah, because you look like they're kids. So why are you here today?
We are here because, as everybody is, should be here, because if they can shut down the city for a bunch of world leaders, we can shut down the city for us.
Okay, now okay, what is G20?
What is G20?
Where's the microphone? There we go.
There you go.
Watch out. What is G20?
G20 is the group of 20 most rich and powerful nations who are going to get together and decide our lives rather than democracy and the public's will.
So tell me the secret. Why did they come to Pittsburgh?
Because they can secure the area very easily. The rivers make it very difficult. It's the same reason why the French came here in the first place and the British came here after that.
Bingo, and you win 1 week in Philadelphia. And what band are you with again?
I play in a band called Anti-Flag.
And where are you playing next?
We're going to Europe. We're going to take the struggle to Europe for a couple weeks.
Okay, kids, keep practicing.
And how about this march? We had a little march. How far would you say that was? 4 miles? 2 miles?
How far was that march, Rebecca?
I don't know. And I think Vic was there. He might have had something to say. What went down?
Well, it was really nice to see. There's about 5,000 to 10,000 people. And it was just great to see so many different people, cross-sections of society, different causes, come together to say their piece and oppose the G20. So I was pretty stoked about it.
And tell us about those cops. It looked like you had made the mistake and gave you a bullhorn for a few minutes. What did you say?
Well, I was just trying to let them know why people are resisting the G20, mainly, you know, economic oppression and global domination by a few countries and a few hands, while most of the world remains powerless, which I think is pretty disgusting, we can all agree on. So I was trying to educate the police officers, and they seemed to like it. They were into it. And, I think even they realize it is pretty ridiculous to have a 6,000 to 8,000 person march, most likely, and to have 4,000, you know, troops in all full riot gear. It's a waste of resources, and, you know, it's pretty ridiculous.
I love it. The PA system's not working.
I'm just saying that our current economic system is completely flawed and not working because it's making people powerless around the world. We profit off of war. Without no war, the economy will fall apart. Without more construction of housing, without more exploitation of the environment. There's one more. Yep. Polar bears are drowning. The Sahara Desert is growing 3 miles, about circa 3 miles every year. Global warming doesn't necessarily mean just warmer temperatures, but more extreme temperatures. Stronger hurricanes, drought, floods. So our current way of living and thinking is not sustainable, it's not correct. So we need to change while there's still time. So that's why we're out here protesting. Just want to let you guys know that.
Hey, Lenny, there's some talkers there from Seeds for Peace.
I am from Eastport, and I am here to give voice to the voiceless and the powerless and the thumb our nose at the G20.
My name is Anna Pilling. I'm here shooting pictures for myself and for Temple News. I'm from Philadelphia. I used to go to Pitt for a year, and I came back for the G20.
I'm Cecily Randolph, and I'm from the University of Pittsburgh. I live here in Pittsburgh. I was born here in Pittsburgh, and I'm here to observe the protests, to see the different issues, and to try to discern whether I need to be a part of it.
Caitlin, how did you like today's march?
It was very tiring. And it was fun because we got to sing songs.
And what were you singing songs about?
G20, pretty much.
What were you dressed up as?
I was dressed up as a wolf, and it's.
Do your wolf sound.
Woo woo woo!
And why were you dressed up like a wolf? What's that have to do with G20?
Well, it's a decision to make about climate change because wolves are getting,
negatively affected.
Yeah, they're like dying because of the global warming stuff.
So what's next up on our list?
The Michael Moore of Munhall.
Well, it's really funny. Lenny called me one night and said, get over to Squirrel Hill and see Michael Moore. I assured him that I have a family and that that type of spontaneity was a thing of the past. And then he insisted, and we shoved the fam into the car, went over there, and it was not Michael Moore, but it was someone who looked an awful lot like him. And as it turned out, he was outside of the film Sicko, and he was very articulate about what's going on with healthcare in this country. And so we ran into him again today, and to say the least, he was his usual charming, informative self.
Oh, my. The reason I'm here today with G20 is that of the G20 developed nations in the world, we're the only one that still uses the cancer-infested insurance model. We pay twice as much, and we're ranked 37th in delivery of health care according to the United Nations. Right here in Oakland, UPMC is a world-class facility for people with lots of money. They have a Gold Coast floor that sheiks come in and use. Rick Santorum used to brag about it, that sheiks would come from all over the world for UPMC's Gold Coast. Less than 1 air mile away, we have a child morbidity rate twice as high as Cuba, that spends $400 per person, and we're spending $6,000 per person.
Now, for the novice, for people who are understanding this, how far are we away with Obama with this whole healthcare thing?
Well, we have to remember that Obama got twice as much money as McCain from the insurance industry and from Wall Street companies, and they're the ones in the for-profit model of healthcare, when they sell Aetna and when they sell United Health, that want to maintain that profit margin. So what he really wants is sort of socialism for the insurance companies to guarantee the government to provide healthcare. And quite frankly, if we provide healthcare for the 47 million with the insurance model in place, they're going to have to cut Medicare and Medicaid in the future, so that not only will the insurance companies make a heck of a lot more money, but the care for everybody will be lessened because we're already spending $2.5 trillion, twice as much as anybody else in the world.
Well, down the road then, because Obama has been a disappointment on every level. Down the road, then, how are we going to find our way out of this?
Well, what I firmly believed, I'm a congenital Democrat, okay? And I switched to the Green Party last year because I made a determination that the Green Party says they're against all these wars. The Green Party says they're for single payer. Why am I going to stay in this, like, sort of one-party duopoly that sometimes, if you're watching C-SPAN or PCN and you don't see if they put a D or R under their name, you're not sure which party they belong to.
And what's your name again?
Ed Clunan.
And I'm with Blast Furnace Radio, and I appreciate your time. We're getting ready to march here as close as we could get to the convention center. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Sarah, you've been really quiet. What was your experience today?
I had fun. I danced a lot and tried to get the policeman to smile by calling them sexy. I got one to smile.
You got one to smile?
Yeah.
Was he sexy or was he smiling because he knew that he wasn't sexy?
He was a chant. You're sexy. You're cute. Come on, take off that riding suit. You're sexy. You're cute. Come on, take off that riding suit. We just wanted them.
Riding suit?
It's
riot. Oh, riot.
It's riot suit? I've said riding suit the whole time. Oh, my gosh.
That's why he smiled.
How silly of me. That makes more sense. Riot suit. I didn't really think of that. Okay.
Was he riding somewhere?
Well, some of them were on horses. I think that's why I was confused.
Okay. And what? That says it all, ladies and gentlemen.
What's really interesting is that unlike other radio stations that are looking for 10 to 15 seconds of a clip, we do a lot of recording of the streets and the sounds of the streets. And this particular segment starts off with the Tibetans talking about what's going on in their country and with their oppression, and they're very organized, have their chants together, except one. Something take Pittsburgh, or I forget. Anyways, well, we'll. So, what's next up on our our list, our bag of tricks? To eat the beggars. Motherlode, the best interview that we had today, the best content that we have to offer you, is by a man who's not that old, who has a son who's 24 years old. This man is the head of Veterans for Peace, and he was in the first Iraqi war, and now his son, 24, is in the second. And he offers a lot of content about the tie-in between G20 and war, and what's going on in Iraq, what's going on in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And again, our prayers go out to him and his family. And it was really good that get an update on what's going on with these wars throughout the world, and how that ties into the G20 summit.
Right.
And we're about to start the big march against G20, the permitted march. And who are you?
Well, my name is Michael McPherson. I'm the executive director of Veterans for Peace. I'm also a member of Military Family Speak Out. I have a son who served a year in Iraq. He's out of the Army now, though.
And tell us now, when were you in Iraq?
Well, I was part of the first Gulf War.
Oh, the first?
Yeah. Now,
you
most
look
of
like
the
a kid.
My son's 24. I'm 45.
Oh my
now,
goodness.
most of the vets here right now around us are from this particular conflict right now. But I served in the first Gulf War. I was in the Army from 1981 to 1992.
Now, when did you become turned around against the war? Were you sort of against it before you left for Iraq?
Well, back then when I was in the military, I wasn't against war per se. I thought it was a necessary evil. I knew that we were going to Iraq during the first, what I call the first campaign of this war. It's the same war. A lot of it was about oil, but I also thought that a lot of it was to stop some level of aggression. But now that I've gotten older, you know, and I've understood things a lot better, I realize, no, war is not what they call a necessary evil. War is just wrong. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now.
So how long have you been with the Iraq Veterans Against the War?
Well, once again, I'm with Veterans for Peace.
Veterans for Peace.
I found out about Veterans for Peace in 2002, not long after the invasion. So I've been working with them since then, and I became executive director in February of 2005. Yeah.
Now, they keep on talking about the fact that we've left Iraq. Has the U.S. troops left Iraq?
No, nobody's left Iraq. Only thing that's happened is that we've pulled out of the towns into the bases. And as far as we know, there's not any major offensives going on. But no one's left. And I understand that the president's saying that he's going to bring the troops home from Iraq. And, you know, I just don't know what he's going to do. And until he does it, I don't believe it.
It's an amazing PR campaign. I mean, the average citizen thinks that we have left.
Yeah, that is amazing, and I don't know what that shows other than the fact that our news media is really not doing their job, which is wonderful that we have media like yourself who is keeping on top of this and letting the people know what's really going on.
Okay, tie in for me, G20 and the issue of peace in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Sure. Well, if you follow the money when it comes to Iraq and Afghanistan, you can see that many corporations are making a huge amount of dollars. And the thing about the G20 is that we have the 20 most powerful economic entities on the earth coming together, and they're deciding, now we're talking about 20 countries, and there's, I guess, about 192 or so countries in the world, right? So what we're talking about is 20 countries coming together to decide the economic future of the globe. And obviously, that's not fair and it's not right. And the biggest problem, though, not only that, is that the policies are really going to help corporations more than they're going to help the average person. So one of the reasons we came here today as Iraq Veterans and Veterans for Peace is because we know that the policies that the G20 is putting forward, one, it's not going to help the average person, like I said. Also, it's going to lead to more wars. Because part of the reason wars take place is because these corporations are looking for new markets. They're looking for ways to expand their profits. So they send us, the American military and other militaries, into countries in order to control their resources. So what we want the G20 to do is set forth policies that don't create wars and support the needs of the average person rather than expanding the profits of corporations.
Now, everyone has their reasons, but why do you think that we moved... Everyone has their reasons, and I've studied a lot, but I still am baffled about why we moved into Afghanistan. I know why the government says we did, but...
Well, you know, I think there's never one reason when you go to war. Maybe if you're under a dictatorship, but we do have a semi-democracy here, and you have to bring various forces together in order to perpetuate a war. So I think that one reason is that we want to have a strategic location, so in the future, when we want to expand operations in the region, you actually need a place to be able to do that. Another reason is that there are natural resources in the area, including oil, and there's a pipeline that we want to be able to control. Not so much just because we need the oil, because we can get that on the open market. The issue is what other nations, what other powers might also need the oil so that we can control that access. And then another reason, which a lot of Americans at one time supported the war for, is because you did have Al-Qaeda there, and our country wants to interdict and not allow them to have a safe haven. But that's not the only reason, and that's the reason that they put that forward in order to justify the war. But those two reasons definitely also play a huge role, probably the major role.
Now, the last is the general public does not know, and this is obviously a big problem, not knowing, that we are bombing Afghanistan almost on a daily basis.
Right. That's right. One of the things we're using drones, we're also using them in Pakistan.
From CMU.
Yes, and the thing is, it's interesting because one of the things we're supposedly trying to do, and I say we as our government and our military, is to win the hearts and minds, so to speak, of the people of Afghanistan. And we said that in Iraq, too. But you can't win people's hearts and minds by killing innocent people. You know, every time you kill somebody's mother, you kill somebody's father or their child, you're creating an enemy. People aren't going to be like, oh, I understand the United States wants to be safe, because they're not safe. So it's not working. This war in Afghanistan and Iraq is simply not working.
Well, listen, I appreciate your time. This is what we need. We need some content and not just slogans.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Michael McPherson with Veterans for Peace.
Okay, this is Vincent Irene with Blaster Notes Radio, and we're getting ready to attempt to march towards the convention center. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think that about wraps it up. Once again, for the second night in a row, there are hundreds and hundreds of police officers chasing dozens and dozens of students in Oakland, and I don't know what to make of it, but I'm sure some faithful listener out there could tie it all together in a beautiful metaphor and tie it into what's going on in the world today. So our prayers are with these people, and we hope they're safe.
And next stop is Copenhagen. Rebecca, do we have those tickets yet for Copenhagen? And so what is happening in Copenhagen? It's a climate summit. And Rebecca Margaret Reed is tired. And that's it. There's no more. It's the end. This moment is our last. Well, this moment is our last. Thank you, faithful listeners. Send us an email at... It's now time for the dance party in Chinle. And you can email us at
g20bedandbreakfast@gmail.com or check out g20bedandbreakfast.org.
Thank you.
What's up, everybody?